Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John, the fourth chapter. The Bible says here, Jesus is talking, and he makes this statement. He says in verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." God's looking for some folks to worship him. That's what he's looking for. That really touches me whenever I think about that, whenever I look at that scripture, that the Father is seeking something. He's seeking worshipers. He's seeking those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And then you look up the word worship, and one of the definitions is to kiss. To kiss. I'm talking about the original Greek language here, to kiss. And then it uses the illustration as of a dog licking his master's hand. You know, just a real sloppy, very affectionate, loving kiss. And so that's how the Lord looks at worship. He looks at it as intimacy with him. It's getting intimate with the Lord. Worshiping him is like kissing him. He's looking for worshipers. To worship is to kiss. And kissing is the result of love. It's love between God and mankind. And that's what God created us for. He created us for the purpose of love. And we know that by the way that he came and rescued us and delivered us from eternal separation from him. God gave his son for you and I. He gave of his life, gave the most precious thing he had in order to have us. Man, only love would do that. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, that's what he created the world for. That's what he created mankind for, was to love us and to be loved by us. The Father is seeking those that will love him deeply, intimately. That's God's desire. That's the purpose for our existence. It's our purpose for being here. God is not just looking for servants. He's not just looking for sons and daughters. God's looking for lovers. Lovers of God. So we don't want to just stop with serving God. We don't want to just stop with being sons and daughters of God, as awesome as that is. God wants us to go even further. He wants us to go even deeper. He wants us to get even more closer, more intimate with him. God's looking for lovers. We see it over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves." Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. God's looking for some lovers. We were created to be lovers. lovers of God. But unfortunately, mankind has traded in being lovers of God, so many have, traded in being lovers of God for being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. Everybody's a lover. We were created to be lovers, but we were created to be lovers specifically of God. That's who we're to be loving. Loving Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Man, that's all of us. That's every part of us. Everything we are is to be for Him, to worship Him. But you know, that's exactly how He is towards us. God so loved the world that He loved us with all His heart, with all His soul, with all His mind, with all His strength, with His whole life. He gave us His life as a sacrifice to save us. That's how God loves us. So He loves us passionately, intensely. And now He's looking for lovers. He's looking for those who will love Him in spirit and in truth. That's what worship is all about. In so much of the church world, they've turned the time of praise and worship into something about themselves, to make them feel good. It's about an experience. When I praise and worship, it makes me feel good. It's not about you feeling good. That's not praise and worship. That's you being entertained. But praise and worship isn't about entertainment. It's not about you being entertained. It's not about pleasures of yourself. It's about loving God, worshiping Him. Amen. Giving Him our affection. Not just lip service. You remember, you know, Isaiah prophesied about people, and Jesus repeated it to the crowd during His time here on the earth, that there's people that honor Him with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. God's not looking for lip service. He's looking for real worshipers, those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's looking for hearts. Hearts that can actually love Him back the way He loves us. Think about it. You got all this love, all this passion going out towards these people, and not much is coming back. That's tough. Love isn't complete until its outflow equals its inflow. It's got to come back. What God is sowing is what He needs to be reaping. He wants you to feel for Him the way He feels about you. He wants you to love Him the way He loves you. He wants you to be intimate with Him. He wants you to seek a close, intimate relationship with Him. He is looking for worshipers. He's looking for those that will affectionately kiss Him and be lovers of God. He's not just looking for people to serve Him. He's not even just looking for obedience. He's not just looking for you to obey Him. He's looking for people to love Him. All His commandments, all the law, everything that the Word instructs us to do isn't just for us to do out of some kind of legalistic obligation. Man, I gotta do what God says. Otherwise, I'm going to end up in hell. Well, I gotta do what God says, or you know, I'm gonna come under judgment. Well, thank God, folks can have some sense about Him and avoid going to hell and avoid the judgment of God by doing what He says. But yet, if that's the only reason why they're doing it, they're really missing it. They're really missing it, because the whole purpose of the law and the commandments is to bring us into a place of love. And we see that here in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Why don't you turn there in your Bible? 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 5. Now the purpose of the commandment, here's the purpose of the commandment. The purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So what's the purpose of the commandment? Love. Love. That's the primary thing. That is the whole purpose of the commandment. Let me read this from the Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classic says it this way. Where is the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. That's a little wordy. Let's just read the Amplified. It says, but the goal of our instruction, God's word is our instruction manual. And the goal of the instructions is love. That's the goal. Which springs from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So the whole purpose of the commandments is to move us into a place of love, where we understand love, we yield ourselves to love, we cooperate with love, and we love. We love the God who is giving us the instructions. As we walk according to his instructions, we're getting freer and freer of all selfishness, all love of self, love of money, love for pleasure, love for all the things of the flesh. As we're obeying his commandments, as we're following him, we're getting all the ungodly, unlovely, unholy things off, all that selfishness. We're shedding all those things. As we're obeying him, we're being purified and we're growing up in love. We're growing up in the love of God, which, number one, is a love for God. God's love in us makes us love God. Amen? Makes us love him. And if we love him, then we're going to love other people as well. That's the whole purpose of it. See, a lot of folks miss the purpose. They just think of just obedience just as a legalistic thing. But there's a reason for the instructions. There's a reason for God's commandments. There's a reason for the law. And it's to cause us to grow more and more in love. 1 John 5, verse 3 says, for this is the love of God. He's about to give us a definition of the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. How do you know you love God? Well, you love his commandments. They're not something you dread. And I know I should read the Bible. That don't sound like love. Well, I know I got to listen to my wife. I know I got to spend time with her. That don't sound very good, does it? How do you think that'd make her feel? She's like, darling, I'd really like to spend some time with you. I know I have to. We're married, and I got to do this. I understand that. Otherwise, you're going to be angry. To keep you from being angry, all right. We'll spend some time together and talk. And it's sad when marriages get like that. They've drifted from the whole purpose. What's the purpose? What'd you get married for? What was the reason for it? Love. Love. See, but people drift from that. And this is how we treat God. How do you think that, you know, God, I got news for you. God's got feelings. God's got feelings. People treat God like he's the Lincoln Monument, you know. He's just stone, you know. He's just stone. There's no feeling. God is love, man. God feels. God feels. He's seeking lovers. Lovers of him. He's seeking worshipers. You understand? He's seeking affection. He's seeking intimacy from humans. That's what he's looking for from us. God feels. God gets hurt. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit who is given to you. What does it mean to grieve? It means to wound, hurt. Don't hurt him. He's the heart of God. And God's heart is a heart of love. Don't grieve him. Don't wound him. You got to watch how you talk. Watch how you act. You could be grieving the Holy Spirit. I think it's grievous to the Holy Spirit when people look at going to church like, I got to go to God's house? I got to listen to God? I got to learn about God? I mean, not only is it just bad, but it's grievous to the Lord. That's hurtful. When someone loves you that much that he would give his life for you, and this is the kind of response he gets from people. Oh, I know, I just didn't have time for you. I'm a busy guy. I didn't have time for you. See, we don't want to just look at it as a legalistic thing like I have to spend time in the Word. It's a love thing. You got to bring it all back to love, of you, otherwise you've lost the whole thing. You've lost the whole purpose of it all. The whole purpose of it all is love. That's why he created you. That's why he saved you. It was because of love. That's why he draws you. That's why he teaches you. That's why he raises up a local church. That's why he's given us his Bible. He's given us his instruction. It's to bring us to love. Loving him, intimacy with God. Loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. No more loving all these other things. All this crazy idolatry. Loving the flesh. Loving him. That's what it's all about. So we don't want to wound God. We want to say, Lord, I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want to spend time with you. Your commandments are not burdensome to me. Doing what you ask me to do is not burdensome to me. I love doing what you want me to do. I mean, God, tell me what to do. I don't want to miss it. I want to please you, not because I don't want to miss it. I can get myself killed. Well, you can. I'm not taking that away from anybody. Obeying God gets you in a lot of trouble. But primarily, you want to obey him because you love him and you want to please him. I want to do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's the kind of testimony Jesus had. He said, I always do those things that please him. Isn't that good? I always do those things that please him. I want to please the Father. I believe we're pleasing the Father here tonight. It pleases the Father when we come and we want to hear from him, when we want to hear his word. That pleases the Father. And isn't that what we want to do? We don't want to just be here because we got to be here because God told me. Well, God told me the church I'm supposed to be in. Don't much care for everything but that goes on here, but I'll do it. I submit. And we're just submitting that obedience to God. You can always hear God. Yeah, don't do me any favors. Really? Like, that's really pleasing to him. Okay, I'm here in your house, hearing your precious things, the word of God. It's where I'm supposed to be. See, it's just dead obedience. There's no life to it. There's no love to it. You got to watch about dead obedience. There's a lot of dead obedience in the world. Oh, they're obeying, but their hearts are far from him. I did what you told me to do. Yeah, you did. You did. Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah. But your heart, man, your heart wasn't in it. You weren't really interested in pleasing me. You were thinking more about how you felt. So following him, obeying him, the more we love him, the easier it all gets. The easier it all gets. God says, put that away. That's just going to mess up your life. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. It's not like, I gotta put it away. Can't I just have it a little longer? It's so hard to lay it down. So hard to lay it down. You don't know what I've given up for God. I'm carrying my cross for Jesus.
You think about the cross. How is he able to endure the cross? Bible tells you, for the joy that was set before him. And he just didn't endure the cross like the thieves endured the cross. I mean, he endured a whole lot more than any human being ever endured in any kind of suffering in this life. Because you understand, while he was being whipped in the natural, he had every curse, every sickness, every disease being put on him. He had every demon of hell at him, boy. He had every kind of horrific, demonic thing attacking his mind, his soul, his body. It is, you can't comprehend what he was suffering when he went to that cross for you and I. He wasn't just a martyr. He became our sin. He became separated from God. He took the full judgment for all mankind upon himself. There was a lot going on that the Roman soldiers and everybody else around the cross had no idea was going on when Jesus was hanging there on that cross. He suffered intensely. How did he endure that? How did he get through that? For the joy. For the joy that was set before him. And what was the joy that was set before him? You know what it was. It was you and I. Number one, it was pleasing the Father. And number two, it was for the world that would be saved, that would come to him, that would believe on him, that would be born again and become lovers of God as a result of his sacrifice. That's what enabled him to endure it. That's what enabled him to say to his disciples, "Rise up, let us go. My betrayer is at hand." Fearlessly, courageously, after he prayed it through and agonized in prayer, he rose up, had the resolve, was settled, and said, "Let's do this thing." And he endured the cross. It's amazing what you can endure when you're in love. Love makes life lighter. Life is lighter when you're in love. Hatred, bitterness, anger, legalism, that's hard. That's hard, man. That's weighty, that's heavy. But love makes life light. It makes what you do a joy, even when what you're doing is costing you a lot. There's a whole lot of sacrifice. A whole lot of laying things down, laying your own life down for others. When it's being done out of love, you can endure it. You can do it. And you read that Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I don't recommend reading the whole thing. I couldn't read the whole thing. I just started reading. Years back, I was reading. I was newly saved. I started reading, and I thought, oh, Lord. I just couldn't even believe humans could do that to other human beings. It just talks about all the early Christians that were martyred and how brutally they were tortured. I mean, who thinks of some of the things that they would do? I mean, some of the things they did, who sits and thinks of these things to try to make them suffer as much as they could? And some of them, while they were going through some of the most brutal tortures, they were singing praises to God. They were singing praises to God, shouting his praise while their bodies were burning, while their bodies were being torn apart by wild beasts. Praising God, singing praises, shouting to God because of their love for him. They knew in just a little bit, I'm going to be seeing the love of my life. I'm going to be seeing the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be with God. I'm doing this for him. I'm laying my life down for him. There's a purpose. And the purpose for it is love. See? And he says that over in 1 Corinthians 13. In describing love, he makes that statement. Verse 3. And though, let's back up verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Nothing worse than just somebody smashing a cymbal and clanging things. Doesn't sound very lovely at all. He said, you could be speaking in tongues. And everybody in heaven's going, stop him! Why? Because there's no love. There's no love attached to it. Isn't that amazing? You can speak in tongues and not do it in love. That's amazing.
And verse 2, he says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Everything we should be doing should be being done for a motive of love. Number one, love for God. We want to please him. We want to be pleasing to him in everything we do. So even though man may not see it, we know God sees everything. He sees everything. So we'll go the extra mile and we'll go down deep into the nitty gritty to do what man won't even recognize you for doing. Because we know he knows. He knows. And just to show the Lord, that's for you, Lord. That little extra right there. That little extra sacrifice, that little extra elbow grease, that's for you. It's because I love you. Love is what completes everything. So even faith, as we've been talking about, faith works by love. Or faith works through love. So where there's not love, faith is incomplete. Faith is incomplete. Even though you have faith to move mountains, it's not complete. You need to have the purpose for mountain moving faith. And the purpose for mountain moving faith is love. Love will manage your motives before faith will move the mountains. If we want the mountains to be moved by our faith, then we got to manage our motives by love. Can you say amen? Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." Profits me nothing. So if they come and take your life and you're kicking and screaming, saying no, and they burn you alive for being a Christian, there's no love for God, it profits you nothing. So love's got to be the motive behind everything. That's what impresses God more than anything, is love. That's what he's seeking. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for hearts of love, hearts that are fully committed to him. And when we love him, then whatever he asks us to do is not burdensome. It becomes easy. It's the joy of our life to please the one we love. It's the joy of our life, man. Psalm 45, verse 7. It says, "You love righteousness. You love righteousness and hate wickedness." You love what God loves and you hate what God hates. "Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." Man, God just pours out that anointing. That oil of gladness comes on your life. You'll have more of him on you, in other words. If what? If you do what you do out of a love for him. I love righteousness. It's not something I have to do. I'm not looking for an excuse to get out of walking in righteousness. We love righteousness, and we hate all unrighteousness. We hate every wicked thing because we love God and we have his heart. We know he hates it. When we find out God hates something, we hate it too. We find out what God loves, we love it too. I love what God loves. And then, you know, you're doing something and all of a sudden you go along and God shows you, I don't like this. I don't like that kind of talk. You go, ooh. I mean, that's happened to me. Has that ever happened to you? You're having a conversation, you go, well, you know, blah, 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 blah. And on the inside you feel this, ugh. Don't say that. I don't want to do anything that grieves him. If it grieves him, it grieves me. Because he's in me. We're one now. So if it grieves him, it grieves me. If it bothers him, it bothers me. If he enjoys it, I enjoy it. Sometimes I just start laughing up out of my spirit. I don't know what I'm laughing about. But I go, "Who? Glory to God. God's happy. God's happy." And sometimes Gene and I, we have happy hour. I mean, we're just really, honestly, you know, it has been times we just sit down at the table to eat. And, you know, we just start to talk and all of a sudden, whoosh. So, oh. I mean, he just come right in there. The anointing, the oil of gladness. Hallelujah, happy hour. Just come right in there and Whoo, hallelujah. And we know what it is. The Lord wants to sit and have dinner with us. The Lord's come over to have fellowship with us. He wants to be a part of the conversation. You know? Sometimes you're just doing something, the Lord likes it, and he just senses his presence just come so strong. Just because he just wants to be a part of it. Wants to be a part of it. That's what it's about. Let God be a part of everything you do. Let him be a part of your life. Lord, that's why we pray over the food. We acknowledge him. And people just go, Father, I thank you for this. What I didn't pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. And then they just shove the food down, you know. You get that? We got that legalistic thing out of the way. Father, we thank you for this food in the name of Jesus. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I bless the food. Yeah, bless God. Is that the purpose? Is that the purpose of blessing the food? Is that the purpose, you know, to give thanks for the food? Is that how we give thanks for the food? The purpose of giving thanks for the food is so that you acknowledge the one that supplied you with the food, so that you acknowledge him at the table, so that he can sup with you. So he can be a part of the fellowship. He can be a part of the meal. That's one of the reasons why you give thanks. Then on top of that, he'll bless it. The earth's under a curse. The food comes out of the earth. And thank God. We can thank God for it. He'll be there and he'll bless it. Amen. And I'll take care of that. We won't eat anything cursed. And take sickness from our midst. Thank God. Thank for the promise. You know, he'll bless our bread and water, take sickness from our midst. Let me say, that's why I thank God for my food. Okay, well, that's a byproduct. That's a byproduct. Him sanctifying the food and taking sickness from your midst, that's a byproduct. That really isn't the purpose for the Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving is to acknowledge him and let him be a part of the meal. Right? He stands at the door and knocks. He says, if anybody will open, I'll come in and I'll sup. We'll eat dinner together. We'll dine together. That's what he wants to do. Let him in. Get back to love. Stop doing all this legalistic stuff. Quoting scripture out of legalism. Obedience out of legalism. It needs to be out of love. I said it needs to be out of love. I love righteousness. That's why I do right. I love righteousness. I hate wickedness. God don't like that. I don't like it. If he don't like it, I'm not going to be entertained by it. I can't do it. I love him. I love him more than that. Psalm 119. Let's go there. Let's look at this. Psalm 119. Now this Psalm 119 was my psalm when I first got saved. I don't know how it happened. I just got in there and it was me. It was my heart connected with him. And it's all primarily about loving him by loving his word. You know, if you love him, you'll love his word. Because the word is him, right? The word proceeds from him. It's his heart. It's his will. It's his ways. It's his works. It's him. So you can't say I love God and you can't say I love God and despise his word. Then you're not really loving God. If you love God, you love his word. And we see that the psalmist said in Psalm 119, and we'll just jump from different verses, but notice here in verse 47, he said, I will delight myself in your commandments. I delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. And I'll meditate on your statutes. Notice verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, God's word just becomes a part of your thought life, you know. And everything that you come up against in life, you think, well, what does the word say about that? What would the word say about that? Or you come back to the word and what you've learned on how to deal with this situation. What's the right attitude to have here? How am I supposed to handle this? You know, it's meditating. It's something you think about, talk to yourself about, you ponder all day long. This is what he's saying here. Verse 98, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Verse 119. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Verse 127. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, than fine gold. That's money. I love God's word more than money. We're lovers of the word, not lovers of money. Verse 132. Look upon me and be merciful to me as your custom is towards those who love your name. How many people love the name? Love the name of God, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We love his name. Verse 140. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. God's word is pure. Therefore, we love it, right? Somebody say, I love it. I love the word, man. So pure. So good. Verse 159. It's a big psalm. Verse 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Verse 163. I hate and abhor lying. I hate lying, but I love your law. I love your law. 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? How would you like some stumble-free living? Why do so many people stumble around? Years of being Christians, just stumbling. Why? Got to get back to love. Get back to love. Why? Because he tells you right here, he said, if you love the word, if you love the law, you're going to have great peace. Great peace. You're not going to be confused. You're not going to be ruffled. You're not going to be fretful. You're not going to be anxious. You have great peace, and nothing can cause you to mess up. Nothing can cause you to mess up. That's what love does to you. A heart of love, man. Ooh, that sounds strong, don't it? That's what love will do to you. It'll make you strong. Make you strong. Hallelujah. Verse 167. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I love them exceedingly. And it's interesting, like Psalm 119 is like it's the longest psalm, and it's right in the center of the Bible, right in the center of the Word of God, right in the heart. And here it's primarily all about a love for the Word. Right in the center of the Word is a word about having a heart for the Word. That's what's right in the center of the Word, because that really is, that's the goal of it all. That's the heart of the Bible. The heart of the Bible is about you having a heart for the Bible. That's the heart of the Bible. The heart of the Bible is about you having a heart for the Bible. That's what it's about. Have a heart for it. Have a heart for it. Desire it. Love God. Love his word. And as we talk about, love fulfills the law, because love is both the reason and goal of the law. The reason for the law and the goal of the law is love. And that's why love fulfills it. When we're over here loving the word and walking in the commandments because they're not burdensome to us, because we have this heart of love for the word and be doers of the word and for God's righteousness, we're fulfilling all the law and all the commandments. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. And that's how it all started for you and I when we got saved. Love is the first thing we experienced when we got saved. It was the first thing we experienced. Over here in Titus chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. So he's talking about before Christ. He's talking about before being saved. That's how we once were before we got saved. But, verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So he's talking about before we were saved, and then what happened that caused us to get saved? What happened that caused us to go from being unsaved to being saved? The love of God appeared. God's love appeared to us. That word appeared there in the Greek means to become visible or clearly known. When God's love became known to us, he always loved us, but it hadn't always been known by us. We didn't know how much he loved us. But all of a sudden, when we came into the revelation knowledge that God so loved us, that he gave his only begotten son, when that love appeared, when that love became known to us, visible to our hearts, the veil was taken away that was blinding us to the truth. When it became known to us, that's when you and I got saved. And what happened? The Holy Spirit was poured out abundantly upon us, washing us and renewing us. We were washed and renewed by the Holy Spirit. So when his love appeared, that's when you got saved. And friend, that love needs to continue to appear. Because some people know there's a lot more to learn about the love of God. There's a lot more where that came from. Where that salvation of God came out of. Oh, man. We experienced the love of God. Oh, we recognized God loved us. We recognized it and we got saved. And we were so excited. And then as time went on, people become religious, and now everything's out of obedience. Obey or else. Friend, it's not supposed to be that way. It was love that God has turned on and transformed, and it's love that's going to keep us turned on and keep turning us on and on and on and on. Hallelujah. And continue to transform us more and more and more and more and more. Whoo, hallelujah. As we go from faith to faith in the love of God. Faith in his love. Not just faith in his promises. The promises come out of a heart of love. When we talk about healing, by his stripes you were healed. Many times we focus on the healing. Let's try focusing on the reason for the healing. Let's focus in on that love. God loved me. He loves me too much for me to be sick. He loves me too much to let me sit here and get picked on and beat up by a devil. God loves me too much. Devil, oh, you should never have messed with me. You don't seem to understand. My God is a very, very jealous God. He's really got a thing for me. And when he finds out about this, and I'm going to let him know about it, trust me. I'm going to use his name, and he's going to know about this. You've been fooling with God's, the love of his life. See, God loves me too much. That's why devils, they have to be afraid of me because God's so in love with me. That's why I'm not afraid of devils, because, like, God loves me. You can't, what, are you kidding me? You're going to mess with me? You see who's with me? And how much he's with me? And how much he cares for me? Well, see, God, he put this thing on you to teach you something. Well, God let it happen.
You don't know God. You don't know how much he loves you. And that's the problem. And because of that, you're resisting him and rejecting him and are non-receptive to his love, which in his love is healing. In his love is prosperity. In his love is blessings and pleasures forevermore. It's all in his love. And we got to come back to the reality of how much God loves us. That's what makes the whole thing work. Faith in the love that's behind the promises. That's what makes it work. It all started out with a revelation of God's love for us. Yes, it did. Whether you realize that today or not, that's what happened. When his love appeared to you, became known to you, you would change. And you received the Holy Spirit, and you were washed, and you were cleansed. And when you receive the Holy Spirit abundantly, as it says right here, he comes with something, because he is the heart of God. And Romans 5:5 tells you what it is. In verse 5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out. See, there it is again. Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. He was poured out abundantly, the Bible says, into our hearts. And what was that? Love. Love. Love filled us. It changed us. And we were now in love with God. Friend, what keeps this thing working? What keeps it going? What's it all about? We got to keep growing in this love. Not dry up. Not drift away. Man, we should be in there so close to the Lord now. Right? From since the first day we believed. We should be so in there. We should be so in there. Man, getting a hold of the deep things of God. The treasures of heaven, man. Ooh, really knowing his heart. That's like having precious pearls being given to you. Really getting to know his heart. That's where we should be going. Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But it doesn't happen when what? When we fall out of love. And we just are trying to do something in the flesh that we know we're supposed to do as Christians. And I know I shouldn't do that, but I really want to. I know I should do that. I really don't want to. I don't want to really spend that time, but I know I have to spend that time with God. I really want to spend my time doing this, but I know I shouldn't. We've lost the whole thing. You get over in that, lost the whole thing. But if we stay over here in love and we recognize, I get to get in there, man. I get to know him more. Oh, when I met Jesus, I'd love to hand the microphone right out right now. I'd love to sit down and hear everybody's testimony of how they met Jesus. When I met Jesus, when his love appeared to me, man, we could have a testimony service. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Everybody just better, this is what happened. This is what happened. This is how I met Jesus. This is how I came in contact with the love of God. This is how it changed my life. And it's still changing my life. And I'm still getting more and more radical about him. I'm crazy. Crazy for him. Hallelujah. Crazy for your love. It's like I'm on a crazy train. Going off the rails. Going off the rails in my crazy train. Crazy love for Jesus, right? Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Don't you just want to shout? Well, why don't you then? Why don't you then? Give it up for Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the love that's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.